yes or no.
Now please cross to the chair. And you will sit down. Make yourself comfortable. And be sure to place each one of your hands on the box on either side of the chair. Making sure that each one of your fingers is on one of the white rectangles. Just sit back. Nothing is required of you except to observe the visual materials that are presented to you. Be sure to keep your fingers on the box at all times. All right? We hope you find the test a pleasant experience.
To the future!
What was his name? The departed.
Flash Gordon!
You mean Dumbo?
Nothing's free in Waterworld!
On an hour, he could have total recall.
And this is England.
The 300 Spartans!
He has a corpse bride!
Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
The Bible calls this day Armageddon.
Watching out for the bad boys.
Welcome to Con Air.
Welcome to The Rock.
You have 13 hours in which to solve the labyrinth.
General, I propose we go forward with your monsters versus aliens idea thingy.
Please consider this my 2 weeks' notice.
You two characters are going to Top Gun.
You are now listening to the Iceland Geezer.
Welcome to episode 58 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. Thank you very much. Appreciate the download and checking us out. Here I am, as always, with my co-host, Drewster Cogburn. Drew, how's it going, dude?
It's going. What's up, dude?
Just hanging out, man. Ready to do another wonderful episode of Cinema Crespediso. If this is your first time checking us out, we appreciate it. Every week we talk about pretty much all things movies, Netflix, what's new, what's old, a little bit of that celebrity news because, you know, some people like that shit.
Because Chris is into that shit.
Yeah, well, some of it.
That's why.
The stuff that's pertinent.
Not even the stuff that's not pertinent.
You mean like the Shia LaBeouf stuff?
Uh-huh.
That's the...
That's not pertinent at all.
Not at all.
Nobody cares about that.
Hashtag I'm sorry. Someone got a video in there, Drew.
I saw it.
Oh, man, that was creepy.
That was... Yeah, that was probably one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever watched in my entire life.
Yeah, for like 2.5 minutes, just sits there and stares while a dude, like, dogs on him, too.
Yeah, and he just stares blankly like he's on opiates or something. Like,
all,
he's just...
All red-eyed.
Like he doesn't move, he doesn't twitch, he doesn't... He blinks. That's about it.
That's weird. So weird. Hashtag I'm sorry. Yeah. Hey, well, Shia.
You should be sorry.
That's our Shia update for the week, I guess. Let's go ahead and let's get the show started because why waste time? Why screw
it up? Let's get it ended. How about that?
How do we get it ended?
By starting
it up. So let's get that Crespo Diso Randomizer 9000 set up for the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. There we go. Let's get it started there. All right, now we got to let this thing warm up. Drew, hold on a second. Wait. It's warming up. It takes a second, but then it'll let us know when it's ready. And then we're ready to see what this week's pick is. There you go, Drew. Go ahead and find out what this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week is. Whoa, we got to check it first. He almost just spat it out. Because Netflix is doing their thing. March 1st. This is coming out 2 weeks before March 1st, but by then, things will be gone. So,
including Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves is going to be gone soon, people. So watch it soon. March 1st, it'll be gone.
Because if not, you have no idea what Avatar's about.
So, yeah, right. Let's see. Let's see what this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week is. Are we still checking? Well, while we're still checking, you can look at past picks of the week at chriscrespo.com. We have picks there from every week going back to like 2011. It's got a lot of picks there. So, and a bunch of them are still on Netflix. So, are we good, Drew?
Yes, sir.
What do we got?
Marathon Man.
Oh, right. That's a great choice. Marathon Man. Let me just go ahead and write that down so I don't forget it later. From 1970.
76.
Oh, that's a shame. So close. Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
He plays a dude who likes to run.
Yep.
And that's about it. No, that's not it.
There's he's just a runner.
There's this whole thing with Nazis and diamonds and the like
CIA
pre-hostile style torture porn with like bad, just think the worst dental work possible. You know, stuff like that. Poor Dustin Hoffman. It's a great movie. It's very much that in the middle of the 1970s paranoia cinema. You know, like All the President's Men, Parallax View type of stuff. Man, that's a very, very...
It's a good one.
I actually started with a Parallax View little clip, though. So it all ties in together. Weird how that works out.
Yeah, sometimes.
The cosmos sometimes lines up like that and makes things apparent to you. It is President's Day weekend, too. You know, so you got to remember all the corruption that this wonderful country has been built upon. Like any great country throughout history.
President's Day firewood.
Make sure you go out and get your President's Day firewood this weekend, people, because every President's Day we have to celebrate the birth of George Washington Abraham Lincoln by enjoying a nice fire in our fireplaces or in our backyards in a bonfire. Because as we know, there's a whole the George Washington had wooden teeth. He really didn't, but that's the thing. That's the myth. So he had wooden teeth and he chopped down a cherry tree and a wooden axe. And it wasn't a wooden axe, but it had a wooden handle, but so he had a wooden axe. And then Abraham Lincoln, he a log cabin and he worked wasn't he a log splitter or something too? And he's always using an axe, even when he was the vampire hunting and the stakes. He had to use wooden stakes to kill vampires. So get your President's Day firewood, people. Right, Drew?
Correct, sir. Yeah. Correct.
Thank you for reminding me about the President's Day firewood.
Had to. You brought up President's Day. I had to bring up President's Day firewood.
This is a President's Day show, and Marathon Man is perfect because this movie was born out of the just the general malaise that was bred out of the whole Nixon administration and the Spygate and the Watergate stuff. Spygate was the New England Patriots. Watergate. You know, everything. Watergate was such a big deal that every scandal after that is something Gates, right?
Yes.
You know, that's how big of. Yeah. Imagine if Bill Gates did something crazy. Bill Gate.
Ooh.
That'd be horrible.
It would just be Bill Gate.
It would just be the Gate. Yeah, just be Bill Gate. Would it be?
Yes.
But people think that might be Bill Clinton. Clinton Gate. Because he had. Anyway, whatever. So.
Water.
So after. After all that shit went down with Nixon, that was all reflected in the art of the time, and a lot of the movies at the time were all just about paranoia and just general sense of malaise and dread throughout. And Marathon Man captures that great. It's an awesome movie. It still holds up. What was that? 40 years ago? Come on, guys. It's
great. Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Getting there.
It's getting there. Fantastic movie. Good choice, Drew.
Thank me. Thanks, the randomizer. Clapping for a machine, Chris.
Clapping for a machine. I mean, this is an updated one. Maybe we'll update even more next week.
Hopefully. Yeah, that one kind of sounded like you used parts of the microwave to make it.
I mean, what does it look like to you?
I mean, it looks like you might have used parts of the microwave, but there's no way to be sure.
You haven't noticed that the microwave hasn't been operational?
No. No, I haven't. Nope.
Recently?
Nope.
The last couple days there? Why don't we go ahead and jump into the box office recap for the weekend, Drew. You got the numbers there for you?
Yes, man? I do.
All right, let's get this started.
Well, we'll see. You can start off at number 7 this week with the new release, Winter's Tale. It had a weekend gross of $7.785 million. Same as the total. Budget is, maybe you have it, Chris. You got a budget for
it? I do not have a budget for this.
All right. That's what I think about Winter's Tale on number 6.
Winter's Tale is apparently a batshit insane movie.
Yeah, that's what you were telling me.
Yeah, that's what I've read. I've read enough that now I'm actually interested in seeing it. Before, when I saw the trailer, I was like, this just looks stupid.
Looks bad.
But now, apparently, I'm hearing that it's so bad it's good. Not that it's good, but so bad it's you gotta see it. Colin Farrell is constantly saved by a Pegasus throughout the movie. That is a flying horse. They never call it Pegasus, but it's a white flying horse that saves him whenever he needs saving. Russell Crowe plays a Irish gangster / demon. Who collects magic stones.
Awesome.
What else crazy happens is apparently
there's time travel involved somehow.
Apparently Colin Farrell's character lives in like a painting in a mural on the ceiling of a train station terminal. It's like Hugo, but even more
okay
deep because he lives in the mural.
Literally.
Will Smith shows up as the devil, Lucifer. You know, make a deal, devil, that type of deal.
Okay, Will Smith is the devil.
And then just apparently that's just like the tip of the iceberg in terms of how insane this movie is. And then, of course, it's just ham-fisted and cheesy and corny. Apparently, it's based on a book that it's one of these books that people love. You know, very devoted audience to whatever this book is. And it's a magical realism book where these things work great when you read them and you're imagining them. And it's in the life of the mind.
Maybe not so much on the film.
Maybe if you have a hacky writer, director like Akiva Goldsman, the guy behind such classics as Batman and Robin.
Ooh, that was bad.
And the list goes on. This guy, he's just the worst. When he takes this book and turns into a movie, it's going to turn into shit, apparently. Because that's what happened.
No.
And then I've read other people, like people who saw the movie, like, this is so bad. And then they would download the book, because that's what you do these days. You don't buy books, you download them.
Yes.
And they've like started reading through the book, reading through a few chapters. Like, okay, it's not the book's fault that this movie sucks. The book is fine. You know, so it's not... It's
everybody else's fault.
It's the adapting process that fucked it up, so... Oh, this thing, probably Redbox, something like that, HBO. It's going to get watched by me one day just because it sounds fascinating.
All right.
It does sound fascinating. It's fascinatingly bad. And how often does something like that really come around? Truly. Usually movies that are bad are just bad, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's rare when you get something like The Counselor that'll just like confound you to the point of, holy cow, this is...
God awful.
Yeah, just... Yeah.
Man, the more I think about The Counselor... the less I like it every time. It's like every time I think about it, I'm like, God, it's just bad.
Why? Why did they? What were they anyway? So, Winter's Tale, we'll catch them on that one day.
Skip number 6 on to number 5 this week. Endless Love. Weekend gross $13.3 million, same as total. Budget of...
No budget.
No budget. Budget of $0. They made a shit ton. They
made a shit ton of money. Yeah, it probably
That's
cost
ridiculous.
Them. It probably cost them like $10 million. Cheap movie. No real actors. I mean, Bruce Greenwood's in it. What are they going to pay him? $500,000 probably, you know?
Maybe.
Alex Pettyfer, maybe $250,000. You know, these guys ain't getting that much money. I mean, that's a good amount of money to be in a bad movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to work for a couple months to be in a bad movie. But still, it's not like these guys are making Robert Downey Jr. Avengers-type money, right?
No.
So the movie's going to be cheap, and it'll probably end up making its money back. By all accounts, it's a terrible film.
Awesome.
Also another one based on a book and was turned into a movie, I think, early 80s, late 70s. Haven't read the book.
Nope.
Didn't see that movie.
Uh-uh.
Apparently, this movie, whatever was right about all that stuff...
is not in this one.
This one gets it all wrong. Usually that's the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah, usually.
Usually? All right, so moving on.
Number 4 this week, Monuments Men made a weekend gross of $15 million. Total gross of $43.67 on a budget of $70.
Let's see where that puts. This is actually one of Senor Clooney's better grossing films, I think, when it comes to him as a director. If I can just, you know what? You know what happened there? I clicked on the wrong movie. Here we go. Boom. Monuments Men. George Clooney as a director. Boom. Here we go. Because he's directed. How many movies do you think George Clooney's directed? Can you name them all, Drew?
There was that black and white one.
Come on, give me a name, bro. You can do it.
It
was a guy's catchphrase for crying out loud. It's how he signed off. Edward R. Murrow, the investigative journalist. He was on TV. Not investigative. You said the show's over. He would say,
good luck and good night.
No, so close. I'll take it.
Something like that?
Good night and good luck.
Oh!
Actually, good night, comma, and good luck, but still.
All right.
You knew what you were talking about. Okay, so yeah, there's that one. That one ended up grossing $31 million total.
Okay.
And Monuments Men's already at 43. So there you go, $31 million. We got 3 more movies. You can do it.
Man.
There's the one that's on Netflix right now, starring Sam Rockwell. No, nothing. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
No, oh, I haven't seen it.
Ah, well, then that would be a reason why it didn't pop to mind right away. But, yep, that's the first one he did.
Okay.
And then he followed that up with Good Night, Good Luck. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind made $16 million total. That was a smaller release anyway. 2002, Good Night, Good Luck. 2005, $31 million. 2008, Think. Comedy. I'm going to start throwing words at you, see if you can think of it. Comedy. Football.
Oh,
screwball comedy.
What's... Oh, man. I know
John Krasinski.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's in it. Love interest. Clooney's in it as well. I don't remember the name of the movie.
Leatherheads.
Football stuff.
Leatherheads.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't a very good
old
movie.
School football stuff.
Leatherheads in 2008 made $31 million, the same as Good Night, Good Luck. And then recently, 2011, political drama starring the Gosling.
Oh, yeah, I just saw a commercial for it on the HBO, the Ides of March.
Ides of March made $40.9 million in 2011.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was okay. It just wasn't very memorable. It didn't seem like it. It was trying to say something, but what did it say? Politics are corrupt?
We know that.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, George. We appreciate it. But that one made $40 million. At $43 million, The Monuments Men is his highest grossing film so far as a director. So, hey, you know. He's got to be happy with that. And it's an okay movie.
Exactly.
It's okay. You know.
I think it was trying to be more than it ended up being.
Right. It was striving for more, and it ended up not really nailing it. It was weird when they were like, we're going to Normandy, right? Normandy Beach. And I was like, oh, man, this is intense. These guys don't know war.
Not that kind of Normandy.
Yeah, they get there. And it's like, oh, the war's over. Everything's cool. It's just a day at the beach. And it's like that from most of the movie. Like, even though it's about how a couple of them died, and, you know, spoiler, a couple of them died, not saying which ones. And how these guys, like, did something very important, it still didn't feel like a very dangerous mission or dangerous movie, you know? It was just like these guys went in and did some appraising and got out, right?
For
the most part.
And, maybe spoiler in the trailer, somebody steps on a landmine.
Oh, right, yeah, that was funny. Yeah, good old Matt Damon, that was in all the trailers. Why did they put that in the trailer? Why did they put anything in the trailer? Anyway. Why do they even have trailers? Do you like trailers, Drew?
Sometimes. Except when they trick me.
How? What do you mean? You mean like marketing-wise?
Awesome trailers for god-awful movies.
Oh, like do you have any examples? Is there one or two that like really...
I'm trying to think.
Like, there are movies I was excited for to begin with and had good trailers, and then they were just ended up being bad movies.
I mean,
like Once Upon a Time in Mexico is one of my favorite examples.
I mean, hell, The Counselor.
Counselor did have a great trailer.
Trailer was fantastic.
Yeah, that's true.
Movie was not good.
No, it wasn't.
No, and I love trailers because how else am I going to see the entirety of really bad movies? I mean, like the movie Pompeii that's coming out. I've seen the whole thing.
It looks like it, right?
I've seen the trailer. I watched the whole freaking movie.
You just got to know whether or not these people, the couple gets out alive or not.
Oh, yeah. No. I already know how the movie ends.
All right, we can talk about that because that comes out this weekend, right?
Yeah,
we can talk about that.
I already know what the end shot is. Right. I've got it.
All
right. Yeah, it's already in my head. I know exactly what it is.
All right, we can spoil that for people in a couple of minutes. You know that who is it? The NATO.
Yeah,
but not NATO, but NATO.
Yeah,
the North American Theater Owners Association.
Okay, so NATO.
No, NATO, because T is still...
NATO.
Anyway, they want trailers to be shorter. The average trailer now is about 2 minutes and 20 seconds. They want them cut down to like 2 minutes. Back in the day, trailers used to be like 3.5, 4 minutes, 5 minutes long, you know, in the 70s, 60s.
You can see even more of the movie.
Yeah. Sometimes they included like interviews or introductions from like Alfred Hitchcock and shit like that, you know. They want trailers to be shorter, which would be good because then it would force them to show less, right?
Or maybe they just want to cram more in there.
Well, no, what people think, the theater owners want to cram in more of their own commercials.
That's what I want to see less of.
Yeah, that is what I want to see less of. That's what really blows up the run times, you know, waiting for a movie to start. It's waiting for all these stupid Coke commercials and the god-awful AMC running into cows and bears eating cell phone promo
it's
things.
Lame.
Those are the worst. The absolute worst. Do you know why they call them trailers?
No.
You want to take a guess? Think about the word. Movie trailer. Trailer. Trailing?
Did they used to come after
the movie? Used to come after the movies, Drew! Come on, trailers. Yes, movie trailers used to play at the end of a movie. Not sure why someone decided to start playing at the beginning, but I think that's a smart move. Because who's going to stick around to the end of the movie?
I'm not watching the credits.
Yeah, who watches the freaking credits? You're supposed to sit there and watch the credits. You're supposed to.
I don't.
And listen to the music.
I don't.
Because that's all part of the movie.
I don't.
Yeah, no one does. As soon as directed by, I'm up and out of there. Man, I got shit to do, bro. Gotta go see another movie. Anyway. What are we talking about trailers?
I have no idea.
What's wrong with you? Let's move on.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, co-producer. Come
me.
On. Produce.
Me.
Produce show.
Ah. Oh, you put your head down.
You son of a bitch. Right in the face with a pen. Where are my glasses?
I was going for your chest.
What's wrong with you?
Anyway.
Oh, you're terrible.
Number three this week.
You're a horrible person.
RoboCop.
Did we have that on video? You assaulted me. That's assault.
21.
Assault with a non-deadly weapon.
$5 million.
I need RoboCop.
Total gross of 26.4.
If RoboCop were here right now, he'd tase you.
Budget of $100 million.
He'd tase you so hard. And then he'd laugh about it because apparently RoboCop's a dick. How much did he make? 26.4 million?
21.5.
Oh, and a total of 26.
Total of 26.
Because it came out on Wednesday.
Oh, right. Did it?
Yeah. Came out a couple days early. You know, it's going to end up making here like 75 million, maybe 80 million total. It's more about overseas, obviously, with something like this. If it can get to like 200 million overseas.
God, I hope not.
Close to 300 worldwide, then they'll be happy.
I don't want them to be happy because then they'll put out another one, and I don't want to see that.
All right, well, go ahead, Drew. Why don't you give the people your review of RoboCop 2014.
It was awful and boring.
Okay. All right. Awful and boring. That's awful and boring. That's a three-word review. Awful and boring. That's the first line of a haiku. Keep going. You can give me a haiku review right now. That's 575. Just do it naturally. Just trust me. It comes out. It just comes out. Awful and boring.
Complete waste of time.
Complete waste of time.
I want my money back.
I want my money back. Yeah! Awful and boring. A complete waste of time. I want my money back. RoboCop haiku review right there from Joseph Cogburn. Good job.
Haiku review from Drew.
I'm telling you, man, they just come out. You just got to do it. They come out naturally. Haikus are weird like that. Well done.
All right.
All right. So, why did you think it was awful? Like, give me a couple of specifics.
It never got me. There was never a point in time where I was so engulfed by what was going on or by any of the characters that I actually cared about what was going to happen in the next scene.
All right. That's bad. Yeah. That's not good when you don't care about what happens next.
I was just, in all reality, I was just patiently waiting for the movie to end.
All right. That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
You didn't care for the lead actor?
No, not at all.
Joel McKinnon? Kim?
The, when they pulled away all his robot parts, that was cool.
That one scene.
And I really hope that was prosthetics. Like, I hope that was something like that somebody actually made.
Oh, something that was built. I'm sure practical effects and digital.
I hope it was practical, because if that was practical effects, I want it in my living room.
I don't know. I got kind of grossed out looking at that thing.
Yeah.
And you want it in your living room.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It was cool.
Could you tell that this Joel looked it up? I had to look it up to double check, because I suspected. But I'm getting a little better at telling you now. Probably because it's more ubiquitous. This Joel Kinnaman fellow. Not American.
Really?
Yeah. His accent wasn't bothering you at all?
I could tell he was not American the second he opened his mouth.
Yeah. When he was talking, I was like, all right, is this guy Australian?
He was in that The Dark Skies, wasn't he?
No. Was he? Dark Skies? You mean the like the husband guy? I don't think so. Let me see.
Now, what was the weird Russian movie with the light monsters?
Are you the light monsters? That branded movie with the branding?
No, they were in Russia. They were running around. There were some weird alien things.
They were in Russia. They were running around. Oh! what Speed Racer? What Speed
Racer?
Right?
Yeah, Speed Racer was in it.
And then some chicks. It was like the
Yeah, he was one of the stupid douchebags in that movie.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Was he really?
Uh huh.
Let's see here. I'm looking this up. He's a bunch of things called Johan. He played someone in Safe House. The Darkest Hour.
That was it. Oh, man. I told you. Yes. I told you I recognized him.
Yes.
Yes. That's where he's from.
He was also in The Girl Dragon Tattoo. I don't remember him in that at all. But that makes sense that he would be in that because he is Swedish. He's a Swede.
Yeah.
So, hey. Swedish people, cool. Nice guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I'm sure.
You know? He's a... okay enough actor, I guess.
He can do bland face really well.
He was really good at bland face, which is a little harder than people would think, you know. Right? I would think so.
Yeah.
Just wipe it out.
Yep. Maybe just, but if there's nothing upstairs, it's really easy just to go blank.
Right. But is there something upstairs?
I don't know. I hope so.
I don't know. I didn't think the movie was awful.
I did.
I wish I could say it was awful. I would love to hate on it, snark on it, you know. Love the original so much. I am trying to watch this on its own, as its own thing. It's really hard, though, to not think back to the original RoboCop, especially when they throw in so many overt references
Murphy.
To the original. Yeah, well, obviously they're going to keep the names. Even though they changed the gender of his partner, they kept the last name of Lewis. So he keeps saying Lewis. It sounds just like Ann Lewis. They throw in a bunch of callback lines, you know, like instead of I'd buy that for a dollar, sometimes I wouldn't buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
The whole Dead or Alive, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
They kept throwing shit in like that. So it was like all they were doing was reminding you of the original, hammering it over your head over and over and over. Here's the original theme song a couple times, like one slightly electronic-y, dubstep-y, maybe real quick. And then here's just like a straight up. It's like they want you to think of the original. So then if you want me to think of the original, you guys are failing as your own movie. Because it just doesn't hold up. It's not as interesting.
No, nowhere near.
You know, there's no poignant set. There's one joke, one moment. I remember thinking, wow, if the movie had more of this, it would work. It would be more satirical and interesting. And now I can't even think of what that moment was because of the testament to how that movie just wiped everything out. It's a lot like the Total Recall remake.
Oh, yeah.
In
a lot like it.
Yeah, in how they took a lot of stuff that was interesting about the original and just threw it all away.
Yep.
And like, here's the skeleton. Let's do the robot cop story, you know?
It was bad.
No, thank you, guys. So I didn't like it that much. Now, okay, there were a couple things, though, that I did like. I did like... that handful of scenes where you get some Gary Oldman with Michael Keaton action straight up, like scenes between those two guys. Like, these are two great great actors. Michael Keaton's on in the fucking movies, so I'm really happy to see him in something like this, even though it's crap.
Multiplicity,
right? We should have, where's Multiplicity 2? Or Mr. Mom 2, right? I'll take any of that. The Big Squeeze 2. Give me another Big Squeeze, Michael Keaton.
Did you just ask Michael Keaton to give you a Big Squeeze?
I love a Big Squeeze for Michael Keaton. We'll talk about Michael Keaton sequels in the second half of the show later on, for sure. But RoboCop, I wanted to like it, but it wasn't gonna. It wasn't really working. The action was okay. It had some decent ideas, but it really didn't capitalize too much on anything.
Nope.
The suit looks better in gray.
Always does.
Yeah. I don't know what they're ever thinking about ever doing it all in black. It just looks silly in black.
It does.
They're already...
And it looks silly with one human hand, too.
It looks horrible with the one human hand. Why would they save the hand? That's another callback, because in the original, they're like... They saved one arm, and then the guy was like, I want a total prosthesis. Lose the arm. And it's like, all right, well, permanent surgery, we're getting rid of the arm. So this one, they kept the hand. It's like they're purposefully like, oh, screw you guys. All right, now I'm starting to like this movie even less and less. All right, so RoboCop, don't bother going to see it in the theaters.
Nope, spend as little money as you can.
As little money as you can, yes.
And, you know, if you want to, you can even save yourself the time.
Right. Almost 2 hours. It's kind of a long 2 hours. It did have Abby Cornish. I'm a fan.
Gia Baruchel was good.
Jay Baruchel, thanks for bringing Jay Baruchel up. Jay Baruchel was doing his best Christian Slater impersonation the whole time. He was like, doing the whole, yeah, man. I was like, oh, and Christian Slater, his whole career is based on doing a Jack Nicholson impersonation. So we got Jay Baruchel doing a third rate, really, Jack Nicholson via Christian Slater, the whole time looking and acting like Ellis from Die Hard.
Yes.
So that's that character, that's another example. See, that whole angle, he was the marketing guy, and like when they were like testing him for, like, the kids really like this stuff, you know, they could have played that shit a lot harder. And it felt like that all that went nowhere. They had a great character there that they did nothing with.
Correct.
So it just ended up being a caricature of nothing, right? The same thing with Samuel Jackson. He's all over this movie. Movie starts with 10 minutes of him and closes with like 2 minutes of him, of monologues at the wazoo. He's all over the place. Never really connected the dots to, you know, his anything. Involvement of everything, you know?
Yeah.
And you know that he has this whole... He is obviously playing this, you know, like the news has an agenda type thing.
Well, yeah, but they never...
They never really clarified it.
To, you know, the agenda.
I mean, his agenda has to be pro-robots. He's obviously pro-robot. He wants to know why America is so robophobic. Blah, blah. I've heard that line 1,000 times now because of the commercials.
But what's his angle on it,
What's
though?
His angle? He has to have, like, never, stock in it or something. But, they never get into it.
They never say anything about it.
So he's just there.
Yeah.
And it's pretty annoying.
Yep.
Actually, yeah, they're looking at his bad... And the way it's set up, the way he's standing there, it reminds me of these Capital One commercials where he's trying to sell America on getting credit cards and getting yourselves more into credit debt to somehow save money. That doesn't add up, Samuel Jackson. But it's cool because, you know, you're with the people. You take the subway in New York, etc. Anyway. I wouldn't confuse him with Lawrence Fishburne. That's just me.
Number two this week, about last night.
What about it?
Weekend gross of $27 million. Total gross of the same. Budget of 12.5.
That was
a quick doubling of their money.
That Kevin Hart train just keeps on rolling. That train left the station and it is now hauling ass. And people are running and trying to catch up to it like hobos with bindle sticks trying to get on that train. Because Kevin Hart is leading that thing to profitability.
He's in 2 of the top 10 movies this week.
You know, with Ride Along is well over $100 million. Now it's like, 115, 116, something like that. Good for Ride Along.
Yeah, 116.
This movie is going to end up making its money at a $27 million opening weekend. We're looking at a total of like another 70, 80 million. It might even make more than RoboCop, and it costs far less.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. But then again, movies like this, especially what they call in Hollywood the urban comedy.
Yes.
Which is code for, as we all know,
black.
Black. It's a black movie. You know, black cinema doesn't translate well, obviously, to overseas. That's something. It's like, they're like Will Ferrell movies. Will Ferrell movies don't make any money internationally.
Well, it's because
Adam Sandler movies don't make money internationally.
Well, it's because the international audience does not care for their humor.
Yeah. Or they're racist.
That too.
Yep. No, they're racist.
That's what I said, that too.
Yeah. So, you know, good for them. About last night, another remake of another 80s film. And, that's Hollywood for you, man. And they're the ones making the money. Although, what's number one?
Number one movie this week is the Lego Movie.
Goddamn!
Had a weekend gross of $48 million. Total gross
$129 million
on a budget of $60 million. So in 2 weeks, it's doubled its money.
Yeah. That's impressive.
It's an awesome movie.
It's impressive. It is.
If you haven't seen the Lego Movie yet, do yourself a favor. Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast. Go see the next showing now.
No, exactly. Look at your watch. Go find the next showing, and we'll wait for you.
You just pause it. Come
so,
back.
So, what's up, Chris? How's it going?
Hanging out. I'm almost. Man, I drank this. I drank this Cigar City Highlight really fast, and it's kind of high octane.
I think we should go see the Lego Movie while they go see the Lego Movie.
Oh, you want to go see? So you want to pause while they pause? You want to pause and go see?
Don't pause.
Okay, we're gonna pause it, and then we'll be right back.
Man, that was awesome.
Man, love that movie.
And you're back, so what'd you think?
Hey, welcome back, guys. We weren't doing nothing while you were away. We were just sitting here. We didn't go nowhere. We didn't go see a movie. What you guys think? We're waiting for your answer. They're all stunned. They're stunned in silence.
They are because it was so awesome.
Love the Lego Movie. Everyone loves the Lego Movie. It's sweeping the nation. People are confounded by how something that seems so corporate and cynical could end up being so
subversive.
So subversive yet sweet.
Oh, so saccharine
and funny. It's a fantastic.
Laugh a minute.
Everyone go see Lego Movie. It's great.
It is.
It's fantastic.
I mean, it kind of makes me want to go to the Lego Land.
It did, too. It did make me want to go check out Legoland, too. And Downtown Disney, they have a big old Lego store there with, like, Lego statues and stuff outside.
I'm going to have to wait until the Lego Movie stuff comes out, though.
Hell yeah. It might be out by now.
I'll me some Lego Batman.
You want Lego Batman? I'm getting me Captain Metalbeard.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Because like the giant robot pirate captain with a shark arm. Because that's just...
That's way he rolls.
Because that's just about the coolest thing ever. All right, new movie is coming out on DVD. Kind of a week. W-E-A.
A week week?
It's a W-E-A-K-W-E.
So is that a week squared?
The only thing that's coming out on DVD and for your home entertainment, Game of Thrones Season 3.
It's a good watch.
Good watch. Now, how, because that's on going to be on the Redbox, how would people go about, like, if you don't already have HBO, how are you going to, you have to buy it now. You can't rent it. There's no Blockbuster to go rent these things.
Yeah.
You could have a Netflix subscription where you pay for the DVD
soon. Or, if you have an HBO subscription.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What about people that don't have HBO?
I don't know how they do it on, like, the Amazon Prime. Or the Hulu.
Or iTunes.
Or the iTunes.
That's the way
I don't know
but
how.
So it's all pay for play. You got to pay to download.
But they, HBO wants their goddamn money on this one.
Yeah, they do. DVDs have always been so expensive to me. Anywhere from like 60 to 90 bucks, depending on how many episodes. Yep. Ugh, brutal. Brutal. But there you go. Game of Thrones Season 3, which means Season 4 is coming very soon.
Hooray.
And a Criterion Edition, Fantastic Mr. Fox. Pretty much all, I think all of Wes Anderson's movies have been released on Criterion, and Criterion has a deal with Hulu. Hulu Plus? Hulu.com. They have the whole, pretty much, I don't know if everything Criterion is on there, but they have a lot of shit there for streaming. They used to have a deal with Netflix that expired, they went over to Hulu, and now it's all over there, so Fantastic Mr. Fox may be available over there on the Hulu. So
that's good stuff.
I like that one quite a bit, I gotta say. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
Well, in theaters, coming out this week, we have, I don't know what the hell that is. So we're going to go with, the new Kevin Costner action movie, 3 Days to Kill, directed by Mick G.
Yep. Mick G, guy behind, Jules 1 and 2, We Are Marshall. Most recently, he did the romantic action comedy with Chris Pine and Tom Hardy, Reese Witherspoon. This Means War. There we go. I knew it was going to come back to me. This Means War. Interesting director. Terminator Salvation. That's his biggest movie. He definitely does visuals well. You know, he has a knack for staging kinetic action scenes and stuff. So, I don't know. We'll see. It'll probably be a piece of shit, but it is Kevin Costner, so we'll check out the Kevin Costner movie for sure.
Hey, Kevin Costner in an action film? I can't miss that.
Well, it's been a long time since The Untouchables. All right, what else we got?
The movie, I already know the ending shot to Pompeii.
Pompeii, okay, so Pompeii is about how some dude is a slave in Pompeii, and he falls in love with some woman who's not supposed to fall in love with. Classic Titanic situation, you know, class warfare. And they try to get together and escape. And coinky dink, Mount Vesuvius just happens to be bubbling and busting and ready to explode all over, ready to jizz all over Pompeii with its hot magma. So that's the movie. It's Titanic in the shadows of Mount Vesuvius. Okay, so you got to sit through. How long is the movie?
105 minutes.
So that's an hour and 45 minutes. You're going to have to sit through an hour and 15 minutes of bullshit and some fake 300 shots before you get to the last half hour action special effects sequence, which leads up to the final shot of the movie, which is Drew.
Okay, so you know how when you think Pompeii, it's all the ash people, blah, blah, blah. And there's that famous one of that couple embracing in the ash.
Oh, so it's
that. It's totally them.
Okay.
Right there. So that's the final shot.
They embrace, they get covered, it's over.
Yeah. And then, exactly, they're the ash people, yeah. Uh-huh.
All
right. And it's all heartwarming. Oh, they're embracing for all eternity.
That makes sense. Yeah, there you go. Man, this movie's going
to... That's how the movie ends.
This movie's going to suck, man. Paul W.S. Anderson, one of... the worst. He made half a good movie once when he made Event Horizon.
Oh, no. He made...
3/4 of a good
movie. He arguably made like 4/5 of a good movie. It all just breaks down in like the last 15 minutes.
But to give him credit on that one, a lot of tinkering from the studio, from Fox, because they tested that movie. Man, this is when studio interference... We'll be talking about studio interference more in the second half of the show. They tested... this movie, a horror movie set in outer space, Event Horizon, and people were getting like too freaked out, like and too disturbed.
Dude, it's great. It's good the hell out of me, Chris.
Yeah, and Fox was like, "You got to cut this back. It's too intense. It's too crazy." And he's like, "You guys wanted me to make a horror movie. This is supposed to be scary." It's like, "No, no, it's too much." And then they took it away from him, and they cut shit on their own, and it was a really unfortunate situation for Paul Wet Shit Anderson. That still does not excuse the Mortal Kombat movies, the Three Musketeers. What else is this guy? I mean, he's just...
Oh, hang on. I'll click on his name.
He is just one of the worst. And yet he keeps working. A lot of video game movies. Doesn't he do Resident Evil movies?
Resident Evil... no, he's a producer of Resident Evil 6.
And he directed the first one, maybe the second one.
All right, so we're going to go to director.
Definitely, yeah. All right.
Resident Evil 6. Resident Evil 6.
We're going backwards?
Yeah, we're starting at what's yet to come out, and we'll go back.
Okay.
Resident Evil 6 is in production.
Yeah, those are moneymakers for him.
Pompeii.
Which is we're going to see, unfortunately.
Resident Evil Retribution.
Oh, my God.
Three Musketeers.
Oh,
Resident Evil Afterlife.
Oh, my goodness.
Death Race.
No!
AVP.
Oh, yeah, he was president. That's right. He did the first. Oh!
Resident Evil.
Ooh.
Soldier.
Blah.
Event Horizon. Mortal Kombat.
Oh, I think the Mortal Kombat 4 Event Horizon.
And Shopping.
Never heard of Shopping. That might be some British... Probably some English, because he is English. So, yeah, there you go. A lot of video game movies. Those are his money makers. Everything else did not make money. Event Horizon, Drew says, forfeits a good movie.
Forfeits.
I'm going to say more like two-thirds. But there you go. That's what we get to look forward to Pompeii. Can't wait for that. And anything else come out?
There's some weird animated movie that I don't know anything about.
Miyazaki. Right? Are we talking about The Wind Rises?
Uh-huh.
That's the final Hideo Miyazaki film. This is his second retirement. Because he retired after he did Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, yeah. And that totally was not his last movie.
Yeah, and then he did Spirited Away.
Yeah.
But this time he says he's retiring. So it could be the last time you get to see a Miyazaki
movie. I saw Spirited Away. It was okay. It's no Princess Mononoke. That movie is so freaking good. You know what I want? You know what I want?
What do you want, Drew?
I want live action Princess Mononoke.
Oh! That'd be weird.
Fucking hell. Can you imagine the bore?
They are doing live action Akira and live action Ghost in the Shell. We're working on Hollywood productions of both. And they already said the live action Akira one is not going to bear that, you know, because the film is so insane that they're like our thing's definitely going to be different. But still, it's going to be in the vein of Akira. They're still making an Akira movie.
That was the whole fun of Akira, that it was just so batshit crazy.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, whatsoever.
It doesn't make a lick of sense.
There's some themes running through the movie.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. Yeah,
but as a plot,
it's just confounding.
Yeah, totally.
But they are doing that, so
there's all sorts
of
weird, pus, fat, strange monster things.
We are Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, yeah.
So you never know. There could be a live-action Princess Mononoke down the road.
I just want it.
Get a nerd out all over that.
I just want it scene for scene. That's all I want.
Scene for scene. Well, then just give it to Zack Snyder. He's good at that.
No.
He's good at that.
Here, dude, all you got to do is copy this. Just exact copy. Don't change anything. Just copy it.
Just make this happen. Go. So there you go. Those are your movies come out in theaters, right? That's it?
Yep.
All right. So, again, not that great of a weekend, but March looks all right. March, we'll get to March in a couple weeks, I guess. So let's take a break. Tell you what, Drew. Let's take a break. I'm gonna play a couple songs. We'll come back and we'll start the show. All
right. You got a better sell for me? I need a better deal for this.
That's all I got.
That's all you got.
That's all I got.
You can't offer anything else.
Cannot.
I don't know. I'll think about it.
So I've been listening to a lot of Philip Glass lately. Don't know why. Just happened. He's done a lot of, contributed to a lot of films in the last 30 years or so, 30, 40 years. So I got a couple songs here. Did you see Undertow? David Gordon Green movie with Josh Lucas and Dermot Mulroney about the couple of brothers. And like one of them likes to eat paint. And they're like trying to run away. They have like dad's little stash of gold or something. And the uncle's chasing them.
Nope.
Through the South. You don't remember that?
Don't think so.
It's a good movie. Undertow. David Gordon Green. Guy who did Pineapple Express and Your Highness. This was when in his early days. Prince Avalanche. Very recently. You know, very good. It's more in the lines of that. Anyway. Philip Glass. Worked on that score. So I'm going to start with a song from there called The Chase. And then he also did the soundtrack for The Hours, and that there's a song called Something She Has to Do. I won't play those two. They're very good. Philip Glass said his reciprocating patterns will lull you into a sense of comfort, ready to accept us back for the second half of episode 58. So we'll see you guys on the other side. This is a great time to refill your drinks. Light them up if you got one. Or just take a chill pill. And you know what I mean by that.
Thank you. Welcome to the Quest Logo.
Welcome to the second half of episode 58 of Cinema Crespo. So hold on a second.
There we go. Feel better now?
Sipping this beer.
So good. Okay.
All right, now here we go. Now, time to start the second half of the show. Time to start the show. Drew, are you ready to get into the Crespo Dome? We got a lot to talk about. Okay, got a lot to talk about.
Sure,
a lot to talk about.
Why not?
But before we do, let's get some of the plugs out of the way. Where can people find you online, Drew?
At Antihero419 on Instagram and Twitter.
What can they see on your Instagram? What do you got there? What do you got wrong with that Instagram? Like, what are you putting out there for people to see?
Pictures?
Like what?
Things?
Hashtag Sky porn?
No, not really.
No?
No, not a lot of Sky porn.
Hashtag food porn?
Maybe a little bit of food porn.
A little food porn? Yeah. Hashtag selfie?
No.
Not a selfie guy?
No.
No selfies?
No.
Very
few pictures of me, period.
Picture of your cats?
Nope. Well, one.
One picture of your cat.
That was like a year and a half ago.
So why would people want to check you out on Instagram, man? Sell the Instagram account.
It sells itself.
It sells its... I put the sound effects board away. But it sells itself. Good job. Good job. Antihero419 on Instagram and Twitter. Check him out. Check out the show Instagram at Cinema Crespediso. You can check out plenty of hashtag cloud porn, hashtag food porn, hashtag food porn aftermath. There's behind the scenes photos from Cinema Crespediso as well as SBK Live, because we hang out with them all the time.
All the time.
And plenty of other stuff you can check out there. You can check us out on Facebook.com/CinemaCrespediso. Check out the show on Twitter at Crespediso. Email the show at CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com. If you want to be in on the Fantasy Baseball League, hit us up. And, check out the bonus episodes. We just put out a CCN bonus episode where I ramble about shit other than movies. In the latest CCN, we talk about hashtag Sochi problems. And, again, Shia, hashtag I'm sorry.
Because that's the name of his bit. He makes me so angry.
That's what the whole bit was about. It was all about the angering he causes by his whole deal, right? So check that out. And we got Dr. Drew 2 Cents coming up this week.
I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
And Drew doesn't even know what he's going to talk about. Dr. Drew.
It might be about nothing.
Drew might spend 45 minutes to an hour talking about nothing.
Literally nothing.
Because he is Dr. Drew, and that's the type of stuff that he does.
Yeah.
I
can totally do that.
Which I appreciate.
I can do that if I want. Okay. I can talk about nothing.
It's your show.
We'll talk about nihilism.
It's your thing, man.
Be careful for nothing.
Be careful for nothing. Yes. Hey. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. That's the whole point of Dr. Drew 2 Cents. I love Dr. Drew 2 Cents. It's a good time, so that'll be released this week. So there you go. Those are all the plugs. ChrisCrespo.com, iTunes, Stitcher. Download the show. Rate us. Review us. Let's get started. In case you haven't heard, there's this Noah movie coming out.
Yeah, I know. I've heard about it.
You've heard about it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Mr. Aronofsky.
There was in the Hollywood Reporter, a big profile, interviews with Aronofsky and people behind the producers of the movie. And some of the rough patches of the production. It was not an easy production for Darren Aronofsky. And it's a profile. It's kind of a long article, so I want to talk about it, read a couple things in here. We'll stop and we can have a little discussion. Before we get started talking about it, this article is called Rough Seas on Noah. Darren Aronofsky opens up on the biblical battle to woo Christians and everyone else. Drew, what do you think about Darren Aronofsky?
I think he's a great filmmaker.
Yeah. How would you rank some of his movies? Like,
there's some of my favorites, actually. I mean, Pie's awesome.
Mm.
Requiem for a Dream is amazing. The Fountain.
love it, yeah.
Oh, man.
And then,
Black Swan, The Wrestler.
Black Swan,
The same movie. One for dudes, one for chicks.
Here we go. I'm trying to find the best place. This is actually an interesting way that they started out. When Darren Aronofsky was 13 years old in Brooklyn, he had one of those unforgettable teachers, Miss Freed. He says his teacher, Miss Freed, was magical, which is ridiculous anyway. When she assigned his English class to write about peace, as in, peace on earth.
Yeah, peace.
Aronofsky produced a poem about the dove that wings its way to Noah aboard the Ark in the Bible.
Wow.
13-year-old Aronofsky writing about Noah back then. When the poem won a United Nations contest, it sparked Aronofsky's nascent faith in his creative powers. So he wrote a poem about the dove that let no one know that land was nearby. And it won a UN contest for poetry.
Ridiculous.
At the age of 13, Darren Aronofsky. More than three decades later, the 44-year-old director is completing his epic take on the Noah story. The making of Noah turned into a head-on collision between an auteur filmmaker coming off a career-defining success in Black Swan and a studio working to protect a major investment that is intended to appeal to believers of every religion as well as those without any faith. That's hard to do. They're trying to make a four-quadrant movie about Noah, but then Darren Aronofsky is going to make it. I mean, that's insane. Black Swan, by the way, $330 million globally, 5 Oscar nominations, which is how he got Paramount to agree to give him $120 million to make this movie to begin with. However, the trouble began when Paramount, nervous about how audiences would respond to Aronofsky's fantastical world and his deeply conflicted Noah, insisted on conducting test screenings over the director's vehement objections while the film was a work in progress. Friction grew when a segment of the recruited Christian viewers reacted negatively to the intensity and darkness of the lead character and questioned the film's adherence to the Bible story. Aronofsky's Noah gets drunk, for example, and considers taking drastic measures to eradicate mankind from the planet.
Uh-huh.
I was upset, of course, Aronofsky tells The Hollywood Reporter in his first extensive interview about the film's backstory. No one's ever done that to me. And he's talking about how Paramount made and tested as many as a half dozen of its own cuts of the movie and tested it. So, for the first time ever, because Aronofsky came from the world of independent film, this is his first studio movie. This is the first time he didn't have Final Cut.
Ooh.
So he's trying to make his movie, and he's trying to tell these guys you can't test it. You can't be removing scenes and changing things around, because there's a reason why it's all connected this way. And he's trying to convince Paramount, just trust me, go with my cut. And Paramount's like, no, man. I mean, part of the reason why we agreed to give you $120 million was that you don't get the final say. However... both director and studio say it's all now behind them. There was a rough patch Aronofsky allows, but at this point, Paramount is fully supporting his version. Paramount Vice Chair Rob Moore says the studio is launching an advertising campaign designed to communicate that the film flows in large part from Aronofsky's imagination. So now they're trying to be like, hey, listen, it's...
this isn't straight from the Bible.
It ain't straight from the Bible, guys. you need to relax. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, there are... those people out there, obviously, they're going to be a little protective of the story because it is, you know, from their faith and their religion, and obviously many people take that very seriously, and they can see something as this as Hollywood, quote, evil Hollywood trying to make money off of their religion.
Well, do they realize that their version of this flood myth has been passed down throughout the ages and has been filtered through countless, you know, minds, mouths,
a lot of people don't know
hands,
about
and religions.
A lot of people don't know about the whole, you know, the flood myth thing, or what would you call the one that the Jesus story falls under?
That's
another story. It's recycled over and over.
Yeah. The son born of God.
Yeah, whatever.
Hercules is that myth.
People don't want to hear about that. They don't want to hear about how they're just story archetypes. However, those people will still go see movies, and they spend money. A lot of those people, those are the same people that made Passion of the Christ a $600+ million grossing picture.
Snuff film.
Yeah, agreed. So this Rob Moore guy, the vice chair for Paramount, he says Aronofsky's Noah is not in the more literal vein of the blockbuster Bible series produced for the History Channel by Mark Burnett and Robert Downey.
Son of God.
That's being turned into the Son of God movie, right? There's something actually really interesting about that in here. Where is it?
Son of God.
Here we go. Burnett and Downey attended the people behind. No, Mark Burnett's also the Survivor guy, right? They attended the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington on February 6th to tout Son of God, and they received an enthusiastic reception. By contrast, an informal poll by The Hollywood Reporter of attendees at the gathering found little awareness that a Noah movie was weeks away from release. So it's not on the spectrum at all for a lot of these people. A lot of people that are excited to go see Son of God, which is just a cut-down version of
the History Channel stuff.
The History Channel Bible, right?
Which
they're doing a sequel of that on NBC, like a big-budget sequel, which is I guess the rest of the Bible?
I don't know. It was okay.
I'll tune in for the Revelations portion.
Oh, man, dude. That's going to be a freaking acid dream and a half.
Right? that would be crazy. Further, the Hollywood Reporter spoke with several people who saw an early test screening, and they didn't like it very much. One person criticized the depiction of Noah as a crazy, irrational, religious nut who was fixated on modern-day problems like overpopulation and environmental degradation. I do remember at one point Aronofsky in an interview said that he always saw Noah as like the first green hero, or like the first environmentalist was Noah.
Well, yeah, because he saw what, you know, humanity was doing.
Yeah, well, God showed him, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
But still, Moore, he says he's not worried, and this guy, Rob Moore, the vice president chair at Paramount, one of the very few top Hollywood executives who is like an openly devout Christian. Part of the reason why the movie ended up getting set there.
Nope, it's time.
It's time, dude. Juice the Cogman versus the world. Juice the Cogman versus the world. Juice the Cogman. World, here we go. Here we go, dude. Got this week's game sparring round. It's the early year. We're gonna get you ready for a nice run of guessing here pretty soon. We're in the new studio. We'll get the new studio up and running. Probably when we go live. Ooh, that's gonna be fun.
Live.
Let's see here. I wrote this game in the midst of an ether binge, so let's see if I can read some of this writing. It looks like we're doing the President's Day edition.
So this has to do with wood.
This has to do with the President's Day firewood. Remember, people, get your President's Day firewood, presidentsdayfirewood.com, hashtag President's Day firewood. 2-for-1 sale this President's Day. Get all the firewood you need for your President's Day bonfires and, you know, the drum circles. Because that's what you do here at President's Day, right?
Yeah, totally. Uh-huh.
Here we go. President's Day edition game. I'll tell you the actor. You name the president he played. Bonus point if you can name the movie.
Okay.
So, for example, if I were to say Daniel Day-Lewis.
Uh-huh.
The answer would be?
Abraham Lincoln.
Very good. And could you name the movie he was in?
Lincoln.
So that would be a bonus point, all right? So that there you go. That's the game. Okay? You ready?
Okay.
Here we go. Number one. And then, note, all right? Some actors have multiple answers.
Okay.
I only need one.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, Josh Brolin.
No idea.
No idea. He played George W. Bush.
Oh, he did.
In W.
Never saw that.
There you go. Oh, you never saw it?
Nope.
It was all right.
Never saw that.
Oh, well, then you're kind of screwed a little bit later. Number two, Bill Murray.
Oh.
What president did Bill Murray play?
FDR.
Yes, very good.
Hyde Park on Hudson.
Hey, bonus point. Good job. Make up for the last one. That's how that works. Nice job, Drew. Number three, Anthony Hopkins. What president did Anthony Hopkins play? Any idea?
I got nothing.
Nothing. You got nothing.
Nothing.
He's one of the multiple guys, as a matter of fact. Anthony Hopkins played Nixon in Nixon.
Okay.
In JFK's Nixon, I believe. And he played John Quincy Adams in Amistad.
Oh, yes, he did, didn't he?
Number four, Robin Williams. Robin Williams. Drew's thinking hard. Thinking hard. Smoke's pouring out of his ears.
No.
No? Nothing?
No.
Very recent movie.
Yeah, yeah.
He played Ike in The Butler. Dwight Eisenhower.
He did, didn't he?
He also, I'm pretty sure he didn't see this movie, he also played Teddy Roosevelt in the Night at the Museum movies, those Ben Stiller.
Remember
in the trailers.
I remember in the trailers, yeah.
There you go. Number five, Frank Langella. Skeletor himself. Who did Skeletor play? Old Frank Langella.
I got nothing.
You got nothing. He played Nixon in Frost Nixon.
He did. That's I saw right. that movie too.
Ron Howard's Frost Nixon. Number six. You're not going to get this one. James Cromwell.
Played somebody in Bush, right?
Oh, in W.
So it was in W. There we go.
Yeah, but you got to give me the president, though.
George Sr.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, anybody George Sr. Give you that one. There you go. So you need that bonus point, too, buddy. That's just handing that one off. Oh, you're going to need it for sure from here on out. You're screwed. Number seven, Benjamin Walker.
I don't even know who that is.
Right. Right.
So,
But it's a movie you've seen, though.
JFK.
No. Abe Lincoln.
No, okay.
And Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Number
eight, Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte. Nope. You play Thomas Jefferson in Jefferson in Paris. Early mid-90s movie about Thomas Jefferson's time in Paris, pre-president.
Okay.
No, didn't see that one?
Nope.
Number nine, John Voight. Pretty sure you've seen this movie. Bro, you made that up. Who knows?
I can't think of him as any president.
He played FDR in Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, no, definitely did not see that.
And number 10, James McManus.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah, but you definitely seen this movie. You think of but funny movies you've seen in the last couple years with a president.
Funny.
This one goes all the way to the top.
I'm trying to think of
James McManus played Nixon in Black Dynamite.
Oh,
hey, that's a whole nunchuck.
That was bad.
Nunchuck
yeah,
thing.
So
you see,
I was poor.
Including bonus points, you got 4 points out of 10.
Out of 20.
No, those are bonus points. They don't count.
Sure, they don't.
No, so it's 4 out of 10. 4 out of 10. Not too bad. Bonus question: who is Brett Stimley?
I have no idea.
He played JFK in Parkland, which just came out pretty recently with Paul Giamatti, Transformers: Dark of the Moon, and Watchmen.
Oh wow, same guy playing JFK in all those movies.
In all those movies,
I guess he's the poor man's JFK.
He is the poor man's JFK. He's what we got right now for JFK. Back to the Noah profile. We're gonna finish this one.
He's no Cyclops as JFK.
No, James Marsden. Almost threw that one in there, but I went with Ike instead. Where were you? So, okay, Rob Moore, Paramount executive, one of the few top Hollywood executives who identifies himself as a devout Christian, says he isn't worried about Noah and its financial prospects. As reflected in the ad for Noah that ran during the Super Bowl, Paramount is selling amazing effects as well, especially to the foreign market. It's all about that foreign market,
yeah.
Man. You know, that's where the money's at, really.
Exactly.
And already, Moore says, early tracking is encouraging overseas, where the studio intends to release the movie in 3D in 65 countries.
Awesome.
Quote, the one thing Darren hasn't done before is those big visual effect shots, and he certainly did a great job to deliver spectacular visuals. They also point out that the Bible's account of Noah is not packed with detail. So they had to fill in a lot of gaps, and that's why people felt like, you know, and I kind of felt the same way. When I heard Aronofsky was doing a Noah movie, I was like, why? I know the story, right?
But do you?
But do I? Maybe I don't. I have since read, you know, some of the things that he's planning on doing. He wants to portray him as sort of a superhero, but he's also a very conflicted guy, and he deals with, like, survivor's guilt and stuff like that. So he definitely has a plan for the whole emotional journey of Noah, which is, you know, I should have explained. It's Darren Aronofsky. He's not wasting his time with a movie like this, right?
Right. No, it's going to be awesome.
That's what I'm hoping.
We're looking forward to it.
That's what I'm hoping. But anyway, this thing goes on and on and on. It's a pretty long profile there. But yeah, so Noah's coming out in a few weeks. Pretty excited for that. Will it make that Christian audience money? Christian exploitation, will it tap into that market? Well, it is kind of an elusive market. That's why a lot of those movies are so low budget. Because, the Christian audiences don't really turn out in droves like that normally like they did for Passion of the Christ. That was a bit of an anomaly there. I got three stories here, Drew. Which one do you want to hear first? We got an actress coming out as gay. We got someone died, and we got five actors who can play Tupac Shakur.
First, let's find out who died.
Let's finally die.
It's terrible.
Let's get the sad story out of the way. You got it, dude. This is according to Deadline.com. Rest in peace. Muppets puppeteer John Henson.
Ooh.
Son of Jim. John Henson, son of the late Muppets creator Jim Henson, died Friday after suffering a sudden heart attack. He was 48. Jim Henson Company confirmed his passing. The youngest son of puppeteers Jim and Jane, John Henson was a shareholder and board member, longtime puppeteer and craftsman. Performed in voice and bodysuit as the 9-foot-tall ogre Sweetums.
Oh, nice. So he's the dude in the Sweetums suit.
Yeah, he was Sweetums, a big old hairy dude that runs around. He's got a big, huge head. Sweetums is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so there we go. His credits as Sweetums include Muppet Treasure Island. It's a very Muppet Christmas movie, and The Muppets Wizard of Oz. He's also in the Muppets 3D show over at the
awesome.
Hollywood Studios, Disney Hollywood Studios. So that's sad. Another Henson down early too in the 40s. Then Jim died in his 40s,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Was that pneumonia?
I remember.
All right, so here we go. Someone comes out as gay or Tupac Shakur prospects.
What actress is off the market for the gentlemen but on it for the ladies?
Oh, for the ladies. Giving hope to the ladies. Let's see if you can take a guess. A younger actress. I would put her in her mid-20s.
Okay.
Canadian, kind of a tiny person. If I start naming movies, that's what's going to give it away. So here we go. Mm-hmm. Naming movies, including the upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past and X-Men The Last Stand. She broke out with hard candy.
Oh, it's the Juno Girl.
The Juno Girl. That's the next one, Juno Girl. Ellen Page comes out as gay. Quote, I am tired of lying by omission. Here's from the Hollywood Reporter. The Juno star made the announcement in Las Vegas at the Human Rights Campaign's Time to Thrive conference, benefiting there's always tongue twist me.
LGBTA?
LGBTA. Is that their basketball association?
I have no idea.
The LGBT youth. LGBT. Blah, 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 blah. That's a tongue twister. Let's just get to what she says. Quote, I'm here today because I am gay and because maybe I can make a difference to help others have an easier and more helpful time. Hopeful time. Regardless, for me, I feel a personal obligation and a social responsibility. I am tired of hiding and I am tired of lying by omission. I suffered for years because I was scared to be out. My spirit suffered. My mental health suffered. My relationship suffered. I'm standing here today with all of you on the other side of all that pain. It's weird because here I am, an actress representing an industry that places crushing standards on all of us. Not just young people, but everyone. Standards of beauty, of a good life, of success. Standards that I hate to admit have affected me. Yeah, so yeah, bit of a revelation there that she's part of the engine, part of the machine.
Yeah, good for her.
Right. And, blah, blah, tearful Paige concluded her 8-minute speech by wishing the audience a happy Valentine's Day, sweetly adding, I love you. That's good for her, right? That's something that's happening more and more these days, and it almost seems like less and less of a big deal now. Because it's just now, it's obviously becoming more socially accepted, as it should be. Yeah, so there you go, Ellen Page, good for you. She's going to be Kitty Pryde in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yep.
You see her for about half a second in the trailer.
Sweet.
Finally, here we go. 5 actors who can play Tupac Shakur. The project has been, Tupac Shakur biopic has been, stewing for a while. John Singleton was off it for a while. Now he's back on as director. And I got here 5 actors who can do it.
All right.
I think, Drew, you can name... You could probably name 3 of these guys. You could at least point to movies that these guys have been in. Like, that guy, 3 guys.
Okay.
Give me... Who do you think? Who do you think?
Give
me some young black actors.
I don't think anybody would play convincing Tupac.
You don't think anyone would do it?
Nope.
At all?
Nope.
Really?
Not that I've seen.
You wouldn't think Brandon T. Jackson could do it? The dude from Tropic Thunder? But don't get too hung up on the visual, the look. You always got makeup and stuff like that where you can... I mean, look at Charlize Theron doing...
dude, he was the... He was the goat guy in that Percy Jackson movie.
Yes, he is.
Well, are you kidding? No.
He has unfortunately made those decisions after Tropic Thunder.
Sorry. No, thank you.
All right. How about number four? You definitely know this guy. Anthony Mackie. Most recently in Pain and Gain with The Rock and Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
He was also in Gangster Squad.
He's Bucky.
Yes. Is he Bucky? I don't think he's Bucky. But he is in Captain America.
Well, yeah, he's not Bucky. Who is he? He's somebody.
He's some guy that flies around.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. He's 34 years old.
Maybe.
Number three, this guy, I didn't know. Columbus Short. 31-year-old actor from, he did You Got Served, two Stump the Yard movies, Save the Last Dance 2, so he's a dancing guy. I haven't seen anything he's been in.
I don't know.
Actually, you know what? He was in Death at a Funeral, and I saw that remake, but I didn't. I don't remember which one he was in that.
I don't know about that. I'd have to see what he can do.
Number two, Chadwick Boseman. Chadwick Boseman was just Jackie Robinson in 42. The movie that just came out. And he recently signed on to a James Brown biopic where he's going to play James Brown.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be a good Tupac.
And finally, my favorite choice. This article's favorite choice. One of my favorite new young actors. You know, one of these guys I'm looking forward to seeing how he develops over the years. Michael B. Jordan. There you go.
That could be interesting.
There you go. Michael B. Jordan. He followed up his strong turn as high school superhero in Chronicle with a jaw-dropping performance as Oscar Grant in last year's Sundance darling Fruitvale Station, which is true. He's amazing in Fruitvale Station. He is unfortunately in that awkward moment right now, that awkward moment where people are going to forget about that horrible bromantic comedy.
God, I hope so.
And he's supposed to be the lead in the Rocky spinoff movie, Creed.
Oh, as Apollo?
No, as Apollo's grandson.
Okay.
Who he recruits Rocky to be his Mickey.
Okay.
He gets old Rocky Balboa to train him, which I actually think that's not a...
That could be a way to revitalize the Rocky franchise.
I think that'd be an interesting way. Make a couple of young Creed movies. Yeah. I think that's actually decent. And he's also rumored for some sort of role in the upcoming... Fantastic Four reboot, which would make sense because that the new Fantastic Four movie is directed by a guy that did Chronicle.
Okay,
Josh Trank fella. So I think Michael B. Jordan.
I would go with Michael B. Jordan.
He is my favorite of all of them. I do like Brandon T. Jackson, and it's funny having to say both their names back to back because they both do the initials. Yeah. Thing.
Well, your name is Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
you can't...
I was gonna say with Michael Jordan, you have to throw in the initial, dude.
What Michael Jordan's acting?
What he wants? Michael Jordan's playing Tupac? That doesn't make any sense. No, Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, Michael's Jordan. He is Jordan. He's B. Jordan. Anyway, so those are five possible Tupac shakers, and I think they're all pretty decent choices.
I think there's about two decent choices.
No, I think they're all... Well, I don't know about that one guy, the Columbus Short fellow, just because I haven't really seen him in anything. Let me see. Where did my notes go? All right, here we go. I got a couple of questions from the peoples.
From the peeps.
This is from @ashorthistoryof. No indication of what the short history is of, but formerly @SeanOfDurant. A Short History Of wants us to do a Crespo Dome battle. Old school RoboCop versus the reboot RoboCop.
Old school wins.
All right, hold on. Let's have a real discussion about this. Hold on, here we go. Because first we got to do as an actor. Because those are the rules, is as an actor and then in a fight. So as an actor, you're talking Peter Weller as RoboCop, Alex Murphy versus Joel Kinnaman? Kinnaman.
Peter Weller wins.
Peter Weller is a better actor. He is better.
He's also a... doctorate in archaeology.
He's also extremely smart. Frighteningly smart. One of those guys. He was also a Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah. Oh, God.
There's
a movie that should be remade.
Buckaroo Banzai is wild, man.
There's a movie that should be remade.
Acting-wise, for sure. Weller.
Yeah.
Old RoboCop.
Yes.
In a battle, in a fight. Yeah, you gotta go. New RoboCop. You have to say RoboCop.
Why? Because he's CG?
Yeah, because he can run faster, and he can jump further, and yeah, he can leap around.
But he's weaker, though. And 50 cal or above will take him out.
Not necessarily.
In the old RoboCop, it took those super special, weird, crazy, insane Mondo bullet exploding guns to even damage him.
Yeah, but those things fucked him up.
Yeah, but that
and,
was...
And then they dropped steel beams on him, and they almost killed him. And then the second one, they chopped him apart, and they took him
but
apart.
But he kept
and
coming
shit.
Back.
Well, they had to put him together. So OCP had to rebuild him.
The new one, 50 cal or above, can take him out.
That's what they said.
That's weak.
Or just shoot for the head.
That's weak.
Yeah, but if, RoboCop doesn't have... Does he have a 50 cal? He does put out one of them giant guns at the end and shoots the Ed 209 at the end of the original RoboCop.
Yep.
I still got to say, reboot RoboCop just because it's modern day, you know, all that CG bullshit.
You know, everybody says modern day RoboCop loses his hand and bleeds out.
But it's not connected to anything, though.
No, it is. It's all
connected.
Yeah, there's a tube running and everything. And it's a closed system, so he's only got so much.
It'll shut down somehow. He'll be fine.
I say old RoboCop wins.
All right, we differ on that one. At Rage Against Twit had a couple things. First off, he points out that Ron Howard is on the Jungle Book movie as possible director.
Okay.
Have you heard about that? Anything about that?
Don't really care.
They're making a live action Jungle Book movie. The Adventures of Mowgli.
Didn't they do that?
A live action one? I don't think so.
Pretty sure they did.
I mean, there's the Disney one where all the singing and all the characters that ended up they put in a tailspin in the Disney afternoon. You know, like the baboon Baloo. No, Baloo was the bear, right? And King, what was the name of the monkey? The baboon? Any idea? King something? Anyway, no. Someone's listening to this at home, some Jungle Book fan. They're like screaming the names of these characters. You guys are idiots. You don't know. Roald Dahl's The Jungle Book. It's Roald Dahl, right? I didn't get that wrong. I hope not. Ron Howard, you know what? He's an okay director. I always feel like his best movies, though, are ones that are based on like true stories, like Apollo 13.
Ha, yeah, Rush. I knew it. 1994, they already did a live-action Jungle Book.
What is it? What? Who directed it?
Rudyard Kipling. No, that's who read
it. Oh, Rudyard Kipling. Not Roald Dahl. I even got that wrong. I know nothing about the Jungle Book.
Steven Summers.
Oh, Steven Summers directed?
And Jason Scott Lee? Dude, remember this?
Don't you
remember this this movie when it came out?
Okay, now I remember.
They already did this.
So that's the movie that killed Jason Scott Lee's career.
Yes, they already tried this.
Steven Summers, the guy who went on to direct The Mummy. Oof. And Van Helsing.
Ugh.
That guy's talk about bad directors.
This was the start of his death.
Man.
I told you it already came out. I knew that there's already a live action Jungle Book.
Oh, there you go. Good job. Good job, Drew. Yeah, that one skipped me. I passed that one. 1994. Yeah.
111 minutes.
Wasn't having none of
that. It came out Christmas weekend.
Well, no matter what Christmas movie hall.
It's a Christmas movie. 25th of December, 1994.
Fools. I guarantee it, no matter what, the Ron Howard version of the Jungle Book is going to be better than the Steven Summers version.
Oh, John Cleese was in this movie. So was Sam Neill.
Oh, really? It's got a good cast.
Lena Headey was in it.
Maybe we should watch it and review it for the... Did you see it?
No.
You remember it?
No, I just remember... I don't know why I remember... things about it, but I do. I never saw it, though. I know for a fact I didn't see it.
Jungle Book, 1994. How much you think it made?
$44,342,956.
Oh, you're looking at something there? You son of a bitch. You say 44? Box office Mojo has a 43.229.
IMDb has it at $44,342,956. That's U.S.
Interesting. They have different numbers
there.
That's
gross.
Which one is right? Which one is wrong? We will never know because we don't care. Well, Ron Howard making a Jungle Book movie. There you go. He also Rage Against Twit. What else did he say? Do we need a Beetlejuice 2? More evidence of Hollywood producing unoriginal stories.
No, we don't.
Well, guess what, Drew?
I know we're getting it.
We're getting a Beetlejuice 2. Here we go. This is according to Rolling Stone. Because there's still a thing. Michael Keaton confirms Beetlejuice 2 talks with director Tim Burton. Quote, if he's in, it's going to be hard not to be in.
Well, I mean, that is a point you have to take. I mean, if Burton's in, you can't say no.
Right. You know, I mean, it's his baby. Michael Keaton said in a recent interview that he has been speaking with Tim Burton about making Beetlejuice 2. During a junket for RoboCop, the actor told MTV that the sequel is getting closer and closer to becoming a reality. Quote, I've emailed Tim a couple times, talked to the writer a couple times, but all really, really preliminary stuff until relatively recently, Keaton said. I always said that Beetlejuice is the one thing I'd like to do again, if I ever did anything again. But it kind of required Tim to be involved some way or another. Now it looks like he is involved, and without giving too much away, we've talked to each other and emailed each other, and if he's in, it's going to be hard not to be in.
I mean, if Burton's in, then I'm in.
Burton's in, you're in? What about Winona Ryder? Do you care if she's in or not?
I don't care.
You don't care? Because in November, Winona Ryder, who played Lydia Deetz in the original, hinted that she was working on a sequel. I'm kind of sworn to secrecy, she said, but it sounds like it might be happening. She also added it would not be a remake. It's 27 years later, Ryder said, and I have to say I love Lydia so much. She was such a huge part of me. I would really be interested in what she is doing 27 years later. Meanwhile, Tim Burton has been working on Big Eyes, a film about painter Margaret Keane that stars Amy Adams, Kristen Ritter, and Christoph Waltz. The film is in post-production, and he has not said officially what he is working on next. So it's not official. It's all rumored. But you know, if they wanted to do Beetlejuice 2, they'll find someone to pony up the dough.
Oh, yeah.
Someone will want to make that.
Because people want to watch it.
So you said if.
If Burton's in.
If Burton's in as director, producer, does that matter to you at all?
Director.
He has to direct it. What about, then obviously they're not replacing, Keaton. What the hell's what would the movie even be about? Like,
I don't know. That's up to Tim Burton.
27 years later?
Tim Burton's crazy as shit. Who knows what the fuck he can think of?
Then Beetle just get eaten by one of those giant striped sandworm monster things at the end of Beetle. Spoiler. No, he had his head shrunk.
Head shrunk.
Yeah, because he dies and he has his head shrunk. Is he going to get his head unshrunk? Beetlejuice, 1988, Drew. How much did it make?
$35 million.
Ooh, $73.7 million. That's some change there. That's why Tim Burton was able to, you know, make Batman and stuff like that. Because it made some pretty... That's good money in 88 on only 1,000 screens, too. So there you go. Hey, yeah. But is that a symptom? Okay. Hollywood's unoriginality, its supposed lack of creativity. Is that really Hollywood's fault? When the top 10 grossing movies of all time, they're like Avengers, which was a build-up of 4 Marvel's movies, like building up to one movie, Harry Potter sequels, Spider-Man sequels, Lord of the Rings sequels. Those are the top 10 movies of all time. It's all based on brands, pre-existing stuff. And remakes make a ton of money because people go out and see remakes. Is it Hollywood's fault when they're like, who are we blaming the pusher or the people who want the drug? You know, who's the blame here?
Everybody, they're all to blame.
The whole system. You're saying the whole system is corrupt.
Yes,
the whole thing.
Yes,
just shut it all down.
I'm almost saying shut it all down because there's some good stuff that comes out of that corrupt ass system.
There is still good stuff. Her came out.
Like I said,
Inside Llewyn Davis came out. Right? Just great movies came out. Gravity?
And you know, if
Pacific Rim?
Listen, if this is the way it has to be, if this garbage needs to be produced for the masses to consume so that studios can throw a little bit of money at some really awesome people and have them do their stuff, then so frickin' be it.
So be it.
I'll deal with it.
That's just the way it is. That's the game.
No.
Don't hate the game. No, don't hate the player.
Hate the game.
Hate the game. So don't hate Hollywood. They're just giving the people what they want. But don't hate the people. Because that's just what they want. So just fuck the whole system. I'm kind of with that. A little cynical.
Yeah.
Let's screw it. Screw it, man. It's 2014. I don't know what any of that means. I think I got a question here from our New York City correspondent, Billy D. And... Whoop, that's the wrong one. Here we go. Wrong one. Almost there, folks. Here we go. And
you can do
Billy
it.
D. Yeah, it took me a while to get there. I should have had that queued up, but I did not. Here we go. Follow Billy D on Twitter at ILoveBlood. Don't be put off by the name. He's a nice fella.
For the most part.
Hola, amigos. Hola, Billy.
Hola.
Hola, Guillermo. This February the 14th has come and gone, and with it arrives a new season of House of Cards on Netflix. My question to you, gentlemen, is how are you watching? Do you binge? Do you savor? Do you attempt just one and then find yourself sitting in a 10-hour-old puddle of your own filth as Netflix asks for the third time? Are you still watching House of Cards? I haven't started yet. I plan to binge every morning and then rewatch with my lady that night to seem smart. Your buddy, Billy D. Good question, Bill. Great question. The first House of Cards, we tried to parse it out.
It turned into 2 episodes, 4 episodes, very long intermission.
Long intermission.
Then all the rest in like a row.
And then we finished them over like a couple of nights or something, I remember. Yeah. Yeah. It was a very awkward viewing of the House of Cards. It's weird when you're on your own. You're on your own schedule.
Yeah.
How are we gonna do this one? How do you wanna take
it? I think we should make it a weekly tradition.
One or two episodes a week?
Exactly. We should pick a night.
Pick a night. All right.
And then sit down and watch a couple episodes.
Right.
And then next week and keep doing that until it's over.
Sounds good to me. We can update the people on the House of Cards as we watch it. Right. Speaking of watching things on the television, been watching that True Detective.
Oh, when's the new episode come out?
I think it's a Sunday night show.
Is it such tonight? It'll give me something to do tonight.
Sweet. I don't know. I'll be so hammered drunk by then. I'm going to watch it tonight and then again tomorrow. But True Detective is awesome. I'm really digging it. We're 4 episodes into, I believe, an 8-episode season.
Yeah, I'm really liking it.
I heard that next season they're going to do like a different story. The same American Horror Story style. Same actors playing different characters in a different story and by a different writer-director. Or by a different director. I think it's the same writer. Anyway. Very cool.
I dig.
Very smart how they have one director doing every episode of the show. That's very rare in television.
Well, it makes it feel more...
The continuity of
exactly.
It
all. Exactly, yeah, yeah. It all feels as if it's one thing, as opposed to like, whoa, why is this episode so bright?
Right, compared to the other ones. It's an 8-hour movie, is what it is.
Pretty much.
It's a long-form movie that's being parsed out in 8 hours. Once it's all together on DVD, you can watch it all in one shot, and it's like just a super long movie. It's exactly like Rainer Fassbender's Berlin Alexanderplatz, which was a 15-hour miniseries that played on German TV, and then they put it all together, and they have marathon showings of that in theaters, where you can watch all of Berlin Alexanderplatz as a 15-hour showing.
Nice.
So you could probably do the same thing with True Detective, because as you watch them... You know, we watched like 2 episodes back to back and then 2 episodes back to back. It's like a little tight little movie is that they're all connected. You know, it's great. It's very cinematic. It's very cool. I dig it. House of Cards the same way. I mean, produced and directed by David Fincher. Come on. But that one, though, it's more like he does a couple episodes.
And he's like, here, everybody copy me.
Yeah, other directors copy his style. And surprisingly, the best director that he chose of copying his style ended up being Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
Because his episodes, he killed it, man.
He did.
Those are the closest to feel like Fincher episodes.
It's because he didn't have to put nipples on anything.
Right. He wasn't allowed to put nipples. No, and he didn't have to worry about coming up with toy ideas for... Say, like, oh, does this have to be neon? No, man, just shoot it.
Hang on, I'm going to put nipples on this real quick.
No, Kevin Spacey doesn't need nipples. We're good on the nipples.
He needs them on the outside of his coat.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of the show. And you know what? I got a bonus sparring round for you, Drew.
Awesome. Fantastic. Just what I always never wanted.
Just what you never wanted. More trivia. But this is Cinema Crespediso-centric trivia, dude.
So if I fail, then what does that mean?
It means you're off. You're out of the show. We got people lined up ready to take your place now. It means it'll be interesting. Here we go. I got a couple categories that'll be fun to go through. For example, let's go through this first one. The top 10 downloads per state. In the U.S., what do you think are our top 10 downloads, top 10 amount of listeners in the country?
Florida, California, New York.
Florida, obviously, number one. California, 2. New York, number 4. Looking so far, you got 3 out of 3. Where are people listening to Cinema Crespediso, Drew, in the country?
Michigan
didn't break the top 10. Mike 7 Deuce, get some people on it, bro. And at McVeigh Rob, you too, dude. Get more, get more Michiganers to download the show. What do you got? What do you got?
One of the Carolinas.
North Carolina, number 10. Not South Carolina, though. But definitely North Carolina, number 10.
Vermont.
Nope, no Vermont. Actually, we have very few downloads.
Washington State.
Washington State, number 3. I guess once they legalized it over there, people found more time to sit down and listen to Cinema Crespediso.
Colorado.
Colorado, again, number 6. They legalized it. They're listening.
Okay, I'm starting to notice a trend here.
Sort of a trend. All right. Well,
New Hampshire.
No New Hampshire.
Oh. I don't know.
Number 5. You'll never get number 5. Missouri.
Yeah, I would never guess that.
Shout outs to Gene Reese at Gene _ Reese in Missouri. You should be able to get
St. Louis?
St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah. Yeah. You should probably get 789. I mean, they're pretty big deals in some of these places. Well, one of them is connected to the other one, and another one is just a really big, pretty big place. Come on.
Texas?
No, not that big. But yeah, Texas, not in the top 10. No. Number 7, Maryland.
Okay.
Maryland. Number 8, Georgia.
Georgia.
And number 9, what's right next to Maryland? Washington, D.C.
The District of Columbia.
They love us in Washington, D.C., bro. So that's top 10 downloads in the country. Top 10 in the world, Drew. Top 10 in the world. What do you got?
United States.
United States, number 1, obviously.
The U.K.
The U.K., number 3. Lump them all together.
Canadia.
Canadia, number 4. Shout outs to Canadia.
Australia.
Australia, number 9. Nice.
I have no idea where else they'd be listening to us.
You would never get number 2. And number 2 is an anomaly anyway, for some reason. Algeria.
What?
In Africa.
Excuse me?
What happened? I think we got...
Are we huge in Algeria?
No, see, I think it got some
Dude,
sort
we're,
of
we're
like...
we're huge in Algeria.
I think it was some sort of like spam bot, zombie bot thing that like some...
We're huge in Algeria, bro.
Because then it... I don't know.
Dude, they're going to... We're going to... The consulate is going to show up at our door one day and be like, you are fucking huge in Algeria, man!
You are fucking huge, man.
You have to come to Algeria. We're going to treat you like kings.
That way, I'll go to that. No, I won't go to Algeria. Number 5, India.
Really?
India. What's up, India?
Big ups to all of our...
Big ups to our Indian listeners.
Yeah.
And some of you guys, stop raving people over there. It's a little crazy. Number 6.
No, all of you guys, stop raving people over there.
Yeah,
please,
yeah.
It's a little crazy.
Yeah. Respect the ladies. Number 6, Italy.
Okay. Hey, I'm drinking a Peroni right now.
Drew's drinking a Peroni. Shout out to Italy. Number 7, Indonesia.
All right.
Yeah. Number 8, Japan.
Japan. I like the way they say Japan in Street Fighter 2. Japan.
Capcom. Number 9, you already said, Australia. And number 10, Thailand.
Oh, word.
Which makes you think immediately of the
hookers.
Simpsons joke. It makes you think of hookers. It makes me think of a Simpsons joke where some guy asks Homer, let's go get some lunch. You like Thai? And Homer says, Thai good. You like shirt?
Ba-doom.
Yeah,
I get it. There we go.
Top 10 ways people listen to the show, Drew. How do people listen to the show? For example,
iTunes.
Just give you... What?
iTunes.
iTunes is incorrect. But iTunes is correct.
The iTunes. Did they pronounce it right? It's one word, iTunes.
iTunes is the number 2 way. But it's a little, this is going to be a little, you'll see. Go ahead.
Stitcher
for Android.
Whoa, for Android.
Number 5.
Okay, so how about
Stitcher for
iPhone?
Stitcher for iOS is number 7.
Okay.
So think of that. Even though there's iTunes, there's also...
I don't understand.
and there's iTunes, and then there's the... do I have anything here?
There's iTunes, and then there's the what?
No, that's not what I wanted. the iPhone! It's separated somehow. People listen to it through iTunes. Like, you can listen to that through the desktop or the iPhone. That's number three.
So the iPhone has its own podcast, its own way,
including not only that, number one, you would never get this.
What?
Described as podcast for iOS.
Oy.
Yes. So number one, podcasting for iOS. Number two, iTunes. Number three, iPhone. Number seven, Stitcher for iOS. Very important that you're in the iTunes. If you want a podcast, you want to do a show, you got to be in the iTunes market. If you're not on iTunes, you don't even have a show. It's not. It's like you don't even exist. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I would never guess any of that.
So, so along those lines, if you had Stitcher for Android, that means you have just plain old burps, exactly. Android phones, number
okay.
four, right? This one I had to look up. Number six. TVersity media server. TVersity. That's apparently something that helps devices hook up. It's a conduit for podcasts to get onto Xboxes, PlayStations, Wiis. So
People listening through
their gaming console.
Or their entertainment console, Chris.
Their entertainment console. TVersity media server. Number eight, Internet Explorer.
Okay.
Straight up.
Good old.
Just using the computer.
Yeah.
Number nine, HTC streaming player.
Okay, so I guess HTC has its own streaming player.
And number 10, the Chrome desktop.
Okay, so people are just straight off their browser.
Right off of their browser. Which probably includes tablets. Because my tablet, when you go to a website, it'll automatically give you the desktop version and not the mobile version.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so that probably means a lot of tablets.
Yeah.
So that's the top 10 ways people listen to the show. And finally, the top 5 most downloaded shows.
Cool Carl.
No. That was episode 20-something. They are all older shows. Just got to think, you know, they're ones that have been up the longest. They had the chance to get more downloads. And they're all from, like, right around the same time, too. Very busy month.
Babylack.
Which one?
First one.
First Babylack. That was episode number 15, Eating DJs for Breakfast, number 3.
One of the ones with SBK.
Episode 16 with SBK. What is the SRN most downloaded show? And since you said it that generally, also number 4, the summer movie guide we did with SBK last year.
Okay.
So we're going to have to do another one of those coming up in April, right before the movie season.
Let me guess, they all have guests.
Yes. Well, no. As a matter of fact, no.
Really?
Really.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't even.
Episode 18 was just you and me.
Okay.
Coppola's Baldwin's and Sheen's Oh My. Titled that one. And 5th most downloaded, episode 19 with Maddie J.
Oh, nice.
Time Flows Backwards was the name of that episode. So it was all episodes right around the same time, our most downloaded ones.
And whatever happened to that kid?
Yeah, we have that Maddie J back, don't we? Where is that guy?
I don't know. He went on a sailboat, and I haven't talked to him in like 3 months.
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe we should check in on that.
I mean, last time I heard, he was sailing for winter break. I shot him a text about Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and nothing.
Uh-oh. That's not good. Well, General APBF for Maddie Johnson. Please, if you find a sailboat out there that's wrecked with some white guy just trying to survive, let us know. We'll go get him in our own boat that's sinking anyway.
Unless it's Robert Redford, in which case he can take care of himself.
Oh, yeah, Robert Redford. That 71-year-old man can climb up a mast so fast it just puts us to shame. Like, oh, my goodness, look at that guy hustle. He's so old, and he's killing it out there. Anyway. Well, thanks for listening. We got Dr. Drew 2 Cents coming out this week. Might be about nothing. Might be about something. Who knows? Well, you'll find
probably
out.
About nothing.
We'll see. And the week after that, we're going to do our Oscar picks episode, Drew. So I'll print out the ballots. We'll make our picks. We'll read them during the bonus episode. And then we'll have some sort of bet at the end. Sound good?
Sounds fantastic.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell your frenemies. And I guess that means we're out of here.